are welcoming you to Sounds of the Bizarre Live. It's a great pleasure. It's a long day coming and we'll be pretty nervous here. My producer, Dirk Steergert, said to me 5 minutes ago laughing, something's going to break. Well, we hope it's not. We're broadcasting live for the next 40 minutes on Sounds of the Bizarre. Let's tell you a bit of history of this programme. Where did Sounds of the Bizarre came from? Well, it comes from a project called Bizarre, which was sponsored by the European Union. And part of this project, we had the idea, it was about open source software and open educational resources. And we had the idea of a bazaar because it's a meeting place. It's a meeting place where you go to look at products, you drift around the bazaar, you look at the different products, touching, feeling things, seeing what's right. But you chat to people, you stand around in groups moving around and chatting. And that's the idea we wanted. We wanted a bazaar where people would talk, interchange, exchange ideas, look at products, try things out. And we'd written into the original project application, as you do, that we put out a regular newsletter. Now, that was 2.5 years ago. And then we thought, well, we're talking about educational technology. We should be trying some of it ourselves. So we said, we'll do podcasts instead. Didn't know anything about podcasting at the time. Spent a long time trying to make it work. And we started a podcast, which went out more or less every month for nearly 2 years. Last year as well, we produced some podcasts for Emerge. Now, what's Emerge? Well, the Emerge project, is an innovative, 28-month consortium-based project. And the main aim is to support the creation of a sustainable community of practice that would develop and exploit new emergent technologies, for example, social software or pervasive computing, for use in educational settings. Now, we've got a project running under Emerge called the Emerge Bazaar. And next week on Thursday at 1600 UK time, we're going to be launching the Emerge Bazaar. I'll talk more about what it is then. But we said, how are we going to launch? It's part of a 3-day Emerge conference, online conference. And we said, let's do something different. We're going to do it as a radio programme. So we spent about the last 3 weeks trying to work out how to do a radio programme. Like usual, I say I'll do something before I know how to do it. Anyway, we're sort of getting there. And then we said, well, we'd better do a few more broadcasts. We've got a license to go out for up to 100 people. Let's do a weekend fest, so as we can learn about the software, but more, so as we can have some great fun talking to some of our friends. So we've got 3 programmes. This one today, we've got another programme tomorrow, and I've got a big sign coming out from my producer here saying, Graham, go slower. Sorry, I'll slow down a bit. We've got 3 programmes today. We've got tomorrow at 2000 Central European Time, 1900 UK, and on Monday at 1900 Central European, 1800 UK. I always have troubles with those time conversions. And the main focus for these 3 programmes is social software and learning. Now, I've been working in educational technology for about 10 years now. And I have to say, in the early days, it was pretty uninspiring. Essentially, it was a push technology. Instead of opening a book and reading it, you could open your screen and read it. And then we had learning management systems came along, and they really took us backwards, I think. They were all about management of learning, nothing to do about learning. They drove pedagogy back probably 10 or 15 years. And if the early days of e-learning had been dominated by innovators, people trying things, those days of learning management systems were dominated by system technicians who said, people who like to say no. Essentially, you were stopped from doing anything yourself because you could only use whatever software the management had allowed you to put on your machines. But in the last 2 years, we've seen the rise of social software and Web 2. I'm not going to try and define social software or Web 2, but really for me, it's just a change away from that push technology to systems which will allow you to create and innovate and share in lots of different ways. And of course, that changes the pedagogy, or does it? It should, though. It allows the opportunities for new, innovative, participative pedagogies. It doesn't mean we're going to, because it's not just enough to change the technology, but you've got to change the whole practice of teaching and learning. And that's what we're going to be looking at, practice, in these 3 programmes. We're beginning to mainstream e-portfolios, and I want to talk a bit about e-portfolios in this programme and subsequent programmes. that e-portfolios allow learners to present themselves. Potentially, they allow learners to present all their learning, not just that learning which comes from institutions. And potentially, e-portfolios should be under learner control. It's all about a move away from teaching to learning. And we'll be looking at personal learning environments. What's a personal learning environment? Well, I think it's a space for knowledge sharing and knowledge creation. And if e-portfolios are about presenting learning, then PLEs, personal learning environments, are tools which allow collective knowledge representation. Jenny Hughes made that distinction to me between presentation and representation. So those are the ideas we want to explore in these shows. Now, is this just a push technology? We're just pushing radio out to you. No, we want you to get involved. And there's a whole number of ways you can get involved. You can email me, Graham Atwell, graham10@mac.com. You can text us. Got your pens ready? 0049 179 765 0986. I'm going to read that once more to you. You can text us on 0049 179 765 0986. And of course you can Skype us, and that's the real live element. We're using Skype to interview people, to bring people in. My Skype name is Graham Atwell, or one word, G-R-A-H-A-M-A-T-T-W-E-L-L. Skype us and we'll bring you in on the show. Okay, so what's the lineup for today? Well, it's a changeable feast. I was Skyping people this morning saying, want to come on the show? And I'm delighted to say we've got a great lineup. We've got Jan Lai from Italy, who's going to be talking to us about non-formal learning and social software. Hi, Jan. And we've got Sigge Jacobs from Austria, and she's going to be talking to us about e-portfolios and the MOSSET project. More about that later. Ziggy, hi, we'll be talking to you soon. We've got some music. All our music is on the Creative Commons license from Yamendo. And we've got more features I'll be telling you about later. Now we're going to go in a moment into our first musical break. When we come back, stand by your phone, Jan. I'm going to be trying to Skype into Jan and talking to him about non-formal learning and social software. Into the music now, Derek. First listener interactivity. It's Ziggy. She's not from Austria, she says. Ziggy says, I'm from Germany. Sorry, Ziggy. You'll get the chance to explain all soon. And now we're going to be talking to Jan Lai, I hope, in Italy, and I hope I've got the country right this time. We're going to be Skyping him in now.
Hello, Jan. Oh, hi, Graham.
You're live. Sounds of the Bazaar, broadcasting out through the educational internet. Where are you, Jan?
I am actually right now on the beach of Cagliari. I thought it would be a joke, but you caught me still on the beach.
That's wonderful to hear you on the beach, sir. Ziggy's just said to us a bad connection. We think that's a problem at our end, actually, because we were double hijacking on the microphone. But now it should be a bit clearer. You're coming through loud and clear. And what's the weather like down there, Ian?
I'm sorry, Graham. Could you hold just a second? Can you repeat the last sentence?
I was just asking you how the weather was down there.
You're coming in very metallic.
Yeah, I think this is the Skype connection, and this is the problem with Skype. Can you hear me now, Jan?
No, it's better, and I'm getting away from the beach, so I can hear you more than the waves. That could help, probably.
The sound of the waves was lovely in the background. This is the beauty of live radio. Anyway, Jan, we were talking this morning, and we said you were going to tell us something about non-formal learning and social software. How are you using How are you using social software for non-formal learning?
Well, you see, I work for an NGO dealing with youth mobility and non-formal education through international mobility. Mainly, we work with the European Union programs such as Youth in Action. What we have found out in 10 years of experience is that what sometimes lacks on the preparation and on the follow-up of projects of volunteering or exchange, which are basically the tools for the non-formal education for the target groups, what is lacking is usually connection with the end users, with the final beneficiaries. Connection before and after. So we have, for instance, used Moodle as a platform to give a non-formal Italian class to volunteers coming to Italy before they come. And we do it through not formal classes, but we do it through blogs or a simulation of blogs. And mainly by getting people connected among themselves.
And that's so, people from all over Europe who are coming to Italy.
Yes. Kids 18 to 30 now, but mostly around the kids on their 20s, from different countries and from different, with a very different background concerning the language and knowledge. So. We get them together. We put them together on this virtual environment, and just set the rule that they use as much as Italian as they can, and we facilitate, thanks to our language trainer, who is a master in Italian for foreigners, and she facilitates but doesn't give a typical formal language class. So we don't have like. Exercises
or assessment or any of that.
Yes, we don't give them tests.
It's about bringing the people together from all over Europe before they come. What happens when they come? What do they do when they're then with you in Italy?
Well, when they're here, they usually work on different volunteering projects on the local community. But also on that side, we have discovered a very good use of social networks because, for instance, one of the biggest problems for these young people going in another culture is the cultural shock, the feeling of being left alone. And we have helped them in setting up blogs, group blogs, forums that can help them in giving themselves a kind of a peer mentoring, peer tutoring.
Excellent. And who are those? And so they're connecting with people back from where they came from?
Yes.
Okay.
And then, of course, we also use it with a group of youngsters from our local community. For instance, one of the projects we have most recently realized is, you could probably visit it at the link. I'm sorry, it's in Italian. It's Iniziative Giovani. .eu, which if you want, I can
it's
send
okay,
it.
It's okay, we'll put that link up on the website to go with the recording of this program, Jan.
Right. And that's just a platform. We mostly use Drupal. It's CMS, yeah. Open source CMS, very powerful and very flexible. And with this Drupal website, we try to keep things very simple in order to be very user-friendly. So we don't put a lot of features. Like, for instance, I found that Facebook is a very nice tool, but if you get distracted by there's so many optional features that you can have, sometimes it's not efficient in reaching your goal.
I got totally fed up with Facebook now. I'm just fed up with the stupid applications and the stupid
yes,
spam
everything
nonsense.
Is a game. It's kind of spam. I think it feels like spam after a while.
It does feel like spam.
Yeah. We have kept things very, very simple. So we have a forum where you can upload files. Of course, you have your avatar to give a sense of community. We have, when working with groups, we have specific group forums that can be accessible only by the group members, or can be public depending on what you're working with.
And you find it works? It actually works? You're getting the users engaged?
Yes, you get the users engaged.
That's the real problem with a lot of these systems. Now, we just said how Facebook feels like spam. But Facebook really does get people involved. And I've set up so many of these forums and so many of these sites. And
yes.
We don't really get users. You know all our project Mm-mm. websites with all those forums where there's nobody on them. Dirk's nodding here.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. We have had that problem in the past. And we have, I don't know if the solution we found is a definite solution, but it is working on the latest project. We give, first of all, a lot of rewards, positive rewards, in things like scores and things like that, working with kids. We put a little competition spirit, like from groups, groups against other groups. Yes. And the other thing of course, it helps a lot when working with local community, for instance, is trying to make blended learning as much as possible with face-to-face meetings every, 2 weeks or 1 month.
And certainly in the work I've done on communities of practice, we found that face-to-face element is pretty critical. It does help if you know it. But having said that, Jan, you and me have been working together for a year now, and we've actually never met.
I'm sorry, just a second, Graham, because now I'll have to drive, so I'll switch to my headset. Can you hold 2 seconds?
Yeah. This is live community radio. I'm very
on
live. I'm
here and listening to you much better now because I have a stereo set now instead of my phone.
The quality's gone a bit at this end, Jan, but don't worry about it. I can still hear you.
Yeah. Okay, what was your last question, Graham?
I was actually just saying that I think face-to-face is important, but
you
and me have been working together for a year and a half, and we've never actually met face-to-face.
I know, but that's my next agenda priority, Graham. We should meet sooner or later.
Certainly hearing the sound of you on that beach and hearing those waves coming in, I was thinking that's one of my next priorities. Thank you very much for being the first guest on Emerging Sounds of the Bazaar Live, Jan. Have a great afternoon on that beach. I'm very envious of you.
I'm going back to work.
You're going back to work. Oh, well, it has to happen.
Well, thanks, Graham, and thanks to everybody listening. I hope my voice came as clear as possible.
You did indeed, Jan. Have a great day.
You too. Bye, Graham.
Bye. Okay, that was Jan Lai from Italy, our first live guest on the show. Next coming up is going to be Ziggy Jakob from Germany. But first of all, we're going into another musical break. Bazaar live, and you can get in touch with us anytime by Skyping me, Graham Atwell, and Graham Atwell's my Skype name, all one word, or by emailing Graham10, that's Graham10@mac.com, or by texting us on 0049 179 7650 986. Now my next guest on the show is Ziggy Jakob from Germany. And I'm just about going to ring her in one moment. I've just got to go to Skype. Ziggy, are you there? Hello, come in, Ziggy. She's around because she's been texting us on the show. Okay. Ziggy, we're going to play a bit more music now. And then we're going to have another go at getting hold of you. Trying to get Ziggy Jakob in Germany. This is so bizarre. Live, you can tell it's live. Ziggy, are you there?
Yeah, okay.
Hi, Ziggy. We've got hold of you now after that bit of a technical glitch. And that was a great test for us because we've been wondering what's going to happen when something starts not working perfectly. And we sort of got through it, I think. We put some music up. And hi, Christina, incidentally, if you're listening, I'll come back and look at your Skype in just a moment. Anyway, Ziggy, delighted you could come on the show today. Thanks for agreeing at such short notice. I wanted to talk to you, Ziggy, about ePortfolios and about the MOSSET project. Could you explain to me what the MOSSET project is? Hi, Ziggy. Ziggy, we're not hearing you.
Hi, Graham. I have just one problem. I can hear everything double, so I don't know what has happened.
I think your problem is you're hearing everything doubled. Have you got the program playing there, Ziggy? Turn down your radio.
Yeah. Okay.
This is just the same community radio. This is something we're going to have to say to everyone. This is good for the future. Anyone else listening? It's just the same as live radio because we've got a time delay running. What happens is if you've got your radio running and you're listening to us live through Skype, Skype's pretty fast. The radio program, I think we've got about a 4-second delay on it, but then it starts getting a feedback loop starting between it because your radio comes through here and it zooms around. So, listeners, when you come on live, remember, turn your radio down first. Anyway, Ziggy, you're coming through loud and clear, beautiful now. Could you just tell us what's the MOSSEP project all about?
Well, in opposite to you, Graham, I've not been in this e-learning teaching for 10 years. I worked with Moodle, with the learning platforms, for 3 years now. And last year, someone asked me about a European project, a Comenius project, which was about e-portfolios. And, I know why you put me to Austria, because the research project leader is in Austria. That's Wolf, which you know, who you know. And they asked me whether I was interested in that. Well, as I'm always interested in new things, and I always think that we have to grab the future for our students and not for anything else, I agreed to do this. And I was in this project, but basically only for doing the testing, which I was glad about.
We did this test. What were you testing, Ziggy?
We had to test what these people did. That was a European project, and they set up a wiki with a lot of information. Really, I think the information was enough to fill 1 year of student training. At, and we had to test this this material with our teacher trainers. And what I did to make it a bit easier, because we all felt that the material was really too much, and everybody must have thought, well, we'll have to contribute a lot because it's a European project, and I found that part of everything that was in the project had already been said before. So we set up a Moodle course room, and we worked together with our project partners in Austria, because there were also two groups who tested the material. And the intention of the MOSSEP was that you have to get young learners who have problems in finding their ways through schools engaged in that, so that they could raise their self-esteem by creating something by themselves. And that was the main focus. But I must say we had big problems, because the teachers we had was a mixed group. And if we talk about digital literacy, this was really a major issue, because they already had problems. We are all of us are used of Skyping and working on blogs and things like that. But most of our teachers are not used to that multitasking working.
Did it give them a problem? Did they feel threatened by that environment, or was it they weren't familiar with it?
Yeah, partly they felt lost, because they had to work with my Moodle course, which really was only service for them, right? Because we had put in all the links and we had set up the forum, because we wanted them to communicate, and we thought that communication is the most important thing in such a project. Set up a network, right? And so we invited them into this network already before the course actually started, to get them used to that, which they didn't use. That was the first problem. The next problem was that we worked with a real e-portfolio software, which we chose Mahara, because most of us agreed to do so, and they had never worked with that. And though we had an expert for working with Mahara, they had major problems.
And what were those problems?
Oh, the problems were both technically, because some of the parts, some of the software did not work as it was expected to work. Yeah. And this is always very, very bad if you train people new to a software and new to new teaching.
Yes, the software's got to work first time, hasn't it?
You don't
have a choice.
Yeah. Because we are used to that. We don't, it doesn't set us off if something doesn't work. We find a way to work around that problem, right? But beginners won't, and they are put off immediately if they encounter problems with the software.
And what other problems?
For example, that they couldn't upload something, or that what they had written had just disappeared, and things like minor stuff, which can get right, which can be solved. But they didn't, we had to make them understand, because we didn't have much time to do so. And we had to talk about the philosophy of the Moffett project with all this huge wiki. We had to talk about technology, and we had to talk, and for me, the most important thing I wanted them to understand was why we should do that, why we should do this for our students, why this was an advantage for our students. And it's not just about technology and software, it's also about a new way of learning. Because, some of these people had worked before with Moodle and had courses in Moodle, but most were still having courses where they just put in stuff and make their students work with that. But we have to get away from this linear way of learning. You all know Jay Cross with his learning landscape.
Indeed, and we're hoping to get Jay on a later program.
Oh yeah, that would be great. And there are so many levels which we have to integrate here. And the problem is that we need the help of the administration. We are all, I was already thinking about coming to a meeting in a guerrilla camouflage, because sometimes I really feel like a guerrilla fighting alone. And the biggest advantage for me was that while working on this project, creating this network. And that's the way I learned to know you, Graham, by the way, you know, or John. And this was a really great experience. And we have to bring over this enthusiasm and these experiences to our students, because they in future they will not be able to work alone. They will have to work in networks. And if they are not learning this at school, they will never learn it. They will all end up working alone and.
Ziggy, that the students know how to do it. The students know how to network. That's not a problem. They're on MSN, they're on their mobile phones networking all the time.
Yeah.
The
problem
is that when they go into school, we tell them to turn the technology off.
Exactly. They are told to cut off all this, to cut off. And whenever I go and tell my headmaster, I have a new program. I have a new idea how we could work with this. I was on a teacher training, and I would like to introduce ePortfolio. Well, it's all up to me to do this with my students. I will give you an example. I have started this ePortfolio thing with one class, and they're going on a practical training. So I agreed with them that instead of writing everything on paper and hand it in for assessment later, they could write it in blogs and make use out of that and put in pictures and impressions and reflections and all that kind of stuff. The other teachers agreed. There were two teachers involved, one head teacher, and he's the one who really supports me and said, okay, go along with them, try to do that. It's an experiment. You have free, you can do whatever you want, but they have to respect the rules about what they have to put in. So I got together with my students, I discussed it with them, they agreed, everything was fine. They managed the software even with the defaults the software had. That was not a major problem for them. But yesterday another teacher came, the third involved, the German teacher, and he said, well, you know, I asked them to submit it also in paper form. And then they were reluctant. They said, oh, we don't want to make it double, and we want... So this was really an issue, and he was kind of plotting everything then.
And I think that's one of the problems I sort of have. It's quite easy to find enthusiastic guerrillas. Nearly every school now has got a guerrilla. And I think that your idea of the Guerrilla Network, in fact, Christine, if you're listening, that could be a great title for one of our weekends, the Guerrilla Network.
Yeah, the Guerrilla Network of
but
crazy
the problem is for the students, though, if they've got one or two teachers saying we'd like to produce an e-portfolio, but it doesn't extend across the whole of the curriculum or large parts of the curriculum,
yeah,
it's just going to seem like an extra effort for them.
Yeah, exactly. But I must say that hopefully in the next term, this teacher who really supports me told me that we will start it right from the beginning, and we will tell students, parents, and colleagues that it will be part of the training.
So your guerrilla action is succeeding?
Hopefully. Let's see that.
Well, OK, that's been great talking to you today, Ziggy. Thanks for coming in such short notice. I hope very much that... I think we've got an elephant on the line. I don't know what happened there, Ziggy. But anyway, thanks very much for coming on. I hope next term we'll come back to you and follow up this interview and see how it went in the meantime.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Graham. I don't know whether anybody can hear me.
Oh, they can.
Okay, then, saluti in Italia. Sono stato molto contento di sentire qualcuno dall'Italia. Non so se il tempo fa bello. I just said hello to Jan in Italy. Okay, thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Ziggy. That was great.
Well...
Oops, sorry for that gap in broadcast. We're still struggling a bit. This is Sounds of the Bizarre Live, our first ever broadcast. It's a question, I'll tell you our little technical trick here. We use Audio Hijack Pro to hijack various feeds, and then we've got, through the headphone port, we've got two computers connected together. But if I keep the microphone hijack on when I'm talking to Skype, you get a horrible noise coming out. So I have to remember at the end to switch on my microphone after a Skype interview. Anyway, we're going to go into another musical break now, and when we come back, I'll be telling you a bit about our next two shows. Over to you, Dirk, for the music. Said 45 minutes, 40 minutes for our first programme, and we've run 39 minutes now, so this is the last section for today's programme, but I'm going to be telling you a bit about what we've got coming up. Of course, it's all subject to change because this is live radio, but tomorrow, I'm very pleased to say, we're going to bring in John Pallister from Walsingham School, County Durham, the UK. John is a great geezer, fantastic man. He's an IT teacher in the school, but he's been leading the development of e-portfolios, and he's got together a very good Google group about e-portfolios. But I wanted you to read a fantastic post he's posted. The group is called e-portfolios and PLTs. I can't remember what the PLT stands for, personal learning teaching style. I don't know. No doubt John will be telling us tomorrow. And on the group today, or yesterday, he posted this great post. I'll just read it out to you. In the year 2121, says John, for some reason, my great-great-great-grandson decides he wants to chat with me. Obviously, I won't be around. No need to trouble the physicists to sort out the wormholes and black holes. The information technologists will have the solution. The system that they create will pick up my digital identity. It will know what I looked like, what I sounded like, what I did when I was talking, and something of my character and style. From my Google profile, it would know what I searched for and what I was interested in. From my blog archives, it would know what I chose to talk about and who I talked to. From my private blog and e-portfolio, it would know what I thought, felt, and wanted to do. From the rest of my digital identity, it would know where I'd worked, what I'd bought, where I'd been, and who I was related to, etc. The system that they create will be a virtual model of me, a V-me. It will be presented as accurate audio, video, 3D representation of me. A real treat for my great-great-great-grandson. Well, you think so, John? Yes, it would be a real treat, I'm sure. The V-me will be able to answer factual questions, when I did, what I did, quite easily. To answer questions about why I did, whatever and what I thought, it would need to search my e-portfolio and blogs. I've lost where I was out here. If V-me was asked for advice, I'm sure by then a tool will have been developed to analyse the choices, decisions I've made during my life, and I'd be able to predict decisions I'd make in given circumstances. No need to transport me through time when my information footprint is there for anyone to use or abuse. An information technology solution for an information problem. So we've sorted out the travelling back in time bit. What about travelling forward in time? And John's put a bit of a competition saying, are there any creative writers out there able to knock something like this into a little story which might promote discussion about digital identity? And he started the story for you on e-time travel page. I'm not sure where that page is, but tomorrow we will. I think that's a great thing. We knock that story around. Is it a nightmare? When I was reading it, I thought John's really enthusiastic, but do I want Google to know everything I've done and where I am? And perhaps that's something we'll be talking tomorrow about digital identities and about information. I've also got on the show tomorrow, who have I got? I've forgotten who's coming on. Oh dear, I've been holding this together so well. I've got another guest on the show tomorrow and I've forgotten who, but it will be an international programme, I assure you. Lots of fun, lots of digital identities. But look, this is live radio. This is a network of people interested in information technology. If you'd like to come on the show, just Skype or email me, Graham Atwell, graham10@mac.com. Skype me. Ah, yes. And this is interactive radio. Christina from Salford in Manchester says, Anika Matilda Bergstrom from Sweden is on the show tomorrow. Oh, that would be great to talk to Anika. I've not seen her for a year. I last saw her in Denmark. She's full of ideas, enthusiasm and creativity. And that's what I'm going to be talking to Anika about creativity in learning. Okay, we've had a lot of fun. I was pretty nervous about this show beforehand, more nervous than I've been for a long time. We've got cables trailing across. Many thanks to all of you who Skyped in. Many thanks to Ziggy and to Jan for agreeing very short notice to come on the show. I never thought we'd start off with interviewing someone on the beach. Many, many thanks to Dirk Stieglitz, who's producing this show. This is Graham Atwell taking you into the Play-Doh music. Going live. Sounds of the Bazaar. This is Emerging Sounds of the Bazaar. Was produced in the Pontedusky Studios. It's available under Creative Commons Attribution.